Praise God. Well, we're going to get right back into our new subject, rediscovering the glory of God. Rediscovering the glory. Amen. The church has got to come into its place. It's our time, and we've got to come into our place of the glory. We are God's handiwork in the earth. Amen. We're his hands, his feet, we're his mouthpiece, we're his eyes, we have his heart, and he desires to do some things through the church. Amen. However, throughout the generations, we have had something obscuring, something obtrusive, something covering the reflective glory of God that is to be seen by God, that God, in fact, identifies with. You know, it's interesting. When God was seeking to do things that we find under the old covenant, like with Abraham, and even in the case of Jesus, I mean, Isaiah prophesied that the Lord sought for a man, and he couldn't find anyone, so he brought deliverance by his own right arm. Amen? So what is God doing? God is looking to find agreement in the earth realm. If he's going to do something here, he's got to find somebody that will agree with him. Amen? That should be you and I. That's his church, his living church in the earth. So he's looking for agreement. He looked and he found Abraham, and he was able to do something in Abraham to start a process whereby he could bring about a people so that he could bring about a seed. Amen. Abraham's seed. Talking about the seed of Christ himself. So he could bring about a seed so that he could sow that seed. Now, the seed of Christ Jesus was sown in his life's ministry and culminating to the time that he gave his life there at Calvary. That was a seed being sown so that God could get a harvest. And the harvest that he got, you look around tonight, you can see some of his harvest. The harvest that he got was the church. Amen. See? And that harvest is still yielding today. It's still yielding fruit today. But God's not finished. He's not done. He's expecting that which he has harvested to bring forth fruit. Amen. And the fruit that we ought to bring forth should and will glorify God. Because he promised that his glory would be seen in all of the earth. He said that his glory would fill the earth. Amen. Now, what is the devil targeting today more than anything else? The seed. The church. The devil, he's let all of his little truth out of the box, his lies out of the box, and he's made it plain. He hates the Jews, and he hates Christians. And that's who he's after. Amen. And so God is desiring that the church would bear this fruit that would bring him glory. Now, in order for us to bear fruit that brings him glory, we got to know something about the glory. And we have to realize that the glory is on us. The glory is in us and will come out and flow through us. Amen. So we've got to remove these obstructions. Now, that's a personal work, you know, that you have to get engaged in with the Holy Spirit in order for these obtrusive type things, these obstructions above our lives between us and God to be removed. Because, you know, we've added to that throughout the years. We put some affection on some of that stuff. And that makes it an intertwined and tangled up mess in our lives. And not the easiest thing to get pulled down, but we can get it pulled down because the Word of God has power. It's anointed. Amen. And so we are commanded in the New Testament to bring into captivity everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. All right. So it's the knowledge of God that the devil is after. That's what he's after. He's after the knowledge of God concerning you and I as the church. He doesn't want us to realize what we have, who we are, what we can do. Amen. And he's afraid of you coming to know that. That's why he dislikes me so much. He don't like me. And he don't like you. But see, I want to deal with this stuff, you know. Amen. So, yeah, I'm a target, but that's all right. I got a shield. Amen. And I got a sword. So bring it on. Amen. You know how some of you are, you know, back in the day before you got saved, you were troublemakers, bullies, you know, all that stuff. Amen. Starting stuff, picking on people, making fun of people. That's who you were. Amen. No need to look around. We all fit that. You know, we were all in there. Amen. And we've been wanting to do some of that stuff. I mean, you just can't get away from some of that stuff. We've been wanting to start a fight somewhere. It's every once in a while, I just want to slap something. You know what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. No, not praise the Lord. Amen. You're not supposed to lose your fight when you become a saint. I mean, David was a great saint. He kicked a lot of devil behind in this time. Yes, he did. Amen. So we need to be a little feisty about this thing. Come on, we need to show that we've got true grit. We need to be a little feisty. We need to fight for, and like Jude said, we need to, you know, we need to contend for the faith of our fathers. Right? Who's your father? Who is your father? That's right. Amen. And who are your fathers in the faith? You got to go back and identify with the champions of the faith. I'm not going to identify with Gehazi. He can have his leprosy. I don't want nothing to do with it. He was a liar. Amen. He had thievery in his heart. Right? And it was conniving. See? And he was seeking to find something for himself. That's what he was after. Well, he's not one of my fathers. Now, I'll claim Elijah, I'll claim Elisha, I'll claim Samuel, I'll claim Jeremiah, I'll claim Isaiah. I got some good fathers. And I surely will claim Abraham. Oh, yes, I will. So we're to contend for the faith of our fathers. You are in a contention for the same kind of faith to be operating in you that operated in them. Now, one of the things we fail to understand in the body of Christ is that your faith ain't no different from the faith of your fathers, and it's no different from the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. God deals to every man the measure of faith. There's just one faith. Glory to God, there's just one faith. And that same faith can get you to that level where you can glorify God in the manner that God's ordained for you to do it. Amen. You can operate in the glory. You have to rediscover that. You have to get excited about it. Amen. You get excited about it, it'd be a little easier to put some things under your feet. Amen. It'll be a little easier to bring into captivity some things that rises up against you. You get excited about it. When you begin to show God, I'm receiving this thing. Amen. I'm taking this thing in. Glory to God. You got to do something. You just don't sit there like a knot on a log and You got to show God that you're excited about it. Don't be afraid to do it. Yeah, I know the devil's looking too, but he needs to know that if he comes this way, he's got a fight on his hands. He needs to know that. He needs to know that. I'm not just going to sit around and let you just thump on my head. Amen. Glory to God. So we got to do something about this obtrusive, this obstructive type thing that's above us, you know. Get the Holy Spirit working with you. And ask him, you know, what are some of these things in my life that causes me to be hindered in the progress of my being all that God wants me to be? I need you to walk with me in this now, and Holy Spirit, help me, because he's the teacher. And he's the one that leads you into all truth. Now, he knows specifically what anointed word is ordained and tailor-made just for that obstruction, for that image, for whatever that is in your life. He knows exactly which one you need to put in your mouth and speak. Amen. He knows exactly what you need to meditate on. Amen. And he'll lead you to that. Amen. All right. So, again, we want to be somewhat like Moses. We want to be like him because Moses just, he overcame whatever fear he had of being in the presence of God, and he went in. He went in. Now, the Bible doesn't say that he struggled at all in the presence of God. 40 days and 40 nights, no water and no food. In the presence of God. And when he came out of the presence of God to see the people, he didn't ask them for a sandwich. He didn't act like he was hungry. He didn't act like he was thirsty. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen. Amen. Jesus said, "Ho, everybody that thirsts, let him come unto me. And I'll give them something to drink, and he'll never be thirsty again." Moses got a taste of that. I mean, he came out of the presence of God, and God told him, "You better get on down there to him. Better get on down there to him. They're acting a little silly again down there. They done backslid while you was gone. They couldn't make it to Wednesday night. Better get back down there to him. Even though I've given you these commandments, I've written them with my hand on the tablets, and you are to place them before the people. Already they have backslid, and they've gone, and they've built themselves calves, and they're worshiping an idol." Moses gets the tablets. He comes walking back down. He gets down in front of the people, even though he knows what they've already done, because God's already told him. It's still upset him really, really, really bad. Why? Because he had a zeal for the people. He had a love so deep, like God, for the people. Why can't you do right? Why are you so hard-headed? You know, he had that kind of love. You know, and when he got out in front of him, he took the tablets and he threw them. I believe he was aiming at Aaron. He threw the tablets and broke them. And he got over there. He got a hold of that golden calf that they made, and he ground that thing up to powder. Now, do you know how much time it would take to grind something up to powder? Now, wait a minute. Moses, in his zeal for God and his anger towards sin, ground up a golden calf that they had built out of different kinds of... Aaron said, "Bring me an earring, bring me some gold, bring me some tree, and I'll melt it down and we'll build us an idol to worship." That man been fasting 40 days and 40 nights, no food, no water, and he still had the strength to tear that thing down, beat it to dust, and he made some of them drink the water that he had put the thing out out there in that water, and he said, "Get out and drink it." Oh, that's the kind of pastor I like to be. I told you we wanted to fight. Amen. Anybody want to be baptized? He made them drink that stuff. And then he turns around and he goes back up on that mountain and another 40 days and 40 nights, no food and no water. No wonder the man is bearing the glory of God on his face, shining like a light when he comes out of the presence of God. Hallelujah. He got past his flesh. Fleshly desires and wants. He got past that. Wanted to be in God's presence. And God blesses him. Listen, when you see some of this stuff, then you understand why the scripture where Jesus said, "Be careful what you hear and how you hear. For with the same measure..." Come on now, "that you meet, it'll be measured back unto you." See? So dependent upon how you hear it is how you're going to get it. And Moses heard it and he got the glory. He got the glory. And it was visibly, physically evident. Amen. So there's something else to reach out for. I'm not just going to preach about it. You're going to see it. Amen. You're not just going to hear me talk about it. You will see it. Hallelujah. And that's the way you reach out and grab it. Amen. You are the light of the world. Say, I'm the light of the world. Matthew 5, 14 and 16. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. I'm on God's candlestick tonight. Amen. And it giveth light unto all that is in the house. Remember, your house is wherever God has allowed you to be. Job, family, relationships. Amen. Your neighborhood, that's all your house. And you're there to give the light of the gospel. That's what you're there for. You've got to begin to take some responsibility. You have to be in a place where you're able to hear God say, look, you are the light in this community. And so God can speak to me about any of my neighbors. You hear what I'm saying? He can speak to me about anybody that lives in my neighborhood. He's spoken to my wife about a certain couple that lives in our neighborhood and has shown her what's going to happen in their lives. They are nowhere near serving God right now. But that don't mean anything. God said it, and I believe it. That settles it. Amen. See, God wants to give you revelation about your house. Hallelujah. Come on now. I'm the light in this house. Amen. Expand upon it. He said, let your light so shine before men. Let your light so shine. You see, I've got to cooperate with what God is saying to me in order for the light of his glory to flow through me. I got to be willing to do whatever he says. Amen. No, you don't dictate to God what you're going to do. You have to be willing to do what he says. Now that's when the light shines the brightest. Amen. When I'm willing to do what my Father says. Amen. So you got to be careful about saying amen in church, because what he wants you to do is coming right around the corner. Amen. Of course, if you say, oh me, the devil's sitting right there and he's going to cause you trouble. So, you know, praise the Lord. You might as well get on God's side. You can't beat him, so you might as well join him. Amen. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Amen. All right now. So, Paul said it this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. He said, you are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read of men, for as much as you are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone. So he's referring back to Moses getting the law and how that God wrote it with his finger on the tables of stone, not on tables of stone, even though that was very, very special. Who else can say that God wrote anything down for them on tables of stone other than Moses? Ever wrote anything like that, see? But what happens in our case is even better. Why? Because God, via the Holy Spirit, has written his law on our hearts. That's what he said he would do with the new covenant. In the last days, they say, behold, I'm going to do a new thing. See, he said, I'm going to write my law upon your hearts and imprint them upon your minds. And no one will have to say to anybody, know the Lord, for you will all know me. Amen. Hallelujah. So this is where we are. And it says here in this scripture, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. So those tables that Moses received are really types of what God desired to do in us. He wrote them on tables of stone because he couldn't write them on the people's hearts in that age and dispensation. So he wrote them down so that they could view them. They needed to be able to see them. See? But seeing for them was believing. Believing in you is first accomplished by you accepting it by faith. You believe and then you see. You understand what I'm saying? See, I believe by faith. That's some things I take to me by faith. And then I see the manifestation of it. I don't see the manifestation and then shout. I shout before I get it. Amen? All right. But we've got to ask ourselves some questions, folks. I got some hard questions here. If you go into Ephesians, again, and we're going through these scriptures rather fast because I want to just inch my way on through in this series to get you to some fresh scriptures. But in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10 through 12, it says, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in the heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose, which he planned in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by faith of him. Now that scripture right there is containing what God intends to do. It's very clear what he intends to do in this particular scripture. And he's talking about us. His intention is that the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, you know, that they might gather some information, that they might see some things through us that God has ordained. See? Now, God in his wisdom has chosen to use you and I to make some things known in spiritual realms. He's chosen us to do that. So we've got to get into this word that God has given us. We've got to meditate in it and let it become a part of us. It's got to get in our hearts. Remember, your faith can't really operate for you like God intended for it to if it doesn't see the mark. Paul said, I'm doing what? Forgetting those things which are behind. I'm pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling, which is in Christ Jesus. Your faith has got to recognize a mark so that it can work toward that thing. You got to see that. See, this isn't just happens chance or that God might pick me to do something. No, God's going to give you the word and you're going to meditate in the word and you see in the word what God wants to do and you claim that by faith and you set that as a mark in your life and then you work your way toward that mark just like Paul did. Amen. You press toward that mark. Amen. Now, pressing toward that mark involves some things. Amen. When you see God setting that mark for you and showing you what you ought to press toward, then you're going to hear some holy voices. Yeah. You're going to hear the Lord speaking to you in small, still voices. You know what? You need to quit that right there. Amen. Praise the Lord. You need to leave that alone right there. You need to let that go right there. And this doesn't need to be a part of your household right here. Amen. Or you got to change your attitude about that. Amen. Amen. There's some relationships you got to work on. Some you got to let go. Amen. Because see, this is all about God. All about God. Amen. So you have to listen to that holy voice of God. And as you go, as you press toward the mark, why is it called pressing? Because there's some weighty things on you. Amen. That's some weighty things on your life. And you've got to press to get to where God wants you to be. And with the same measure that you press, God's going to measure it right back to you. Come on. You can't expect to look like Arnold Schwarzenegger by lifting 10 pounds of metal. You're going to do better than that. Amen. You got to press. I just talked to a lady the other day, and she was telling me that her son had broken the record over here at West Oak High School, and he had pressed 600 pounds. 600 pounds. I said, he broke the record? She said, yes. I said, What was the record before then? Well, she said the record before then was 550, and that was his too, so he broke his own record. I said, glory. Whoo, Lord. I'm serious, man. I'm talking about pressing. Amen. It's going to involve some effort. Amen. God will meet you based on the effort that you're willing to give in this thing. And you'll see it. And you can watermark when it began to happen for you. Amen. You can mark it. You can denote it. There's a place there where you'll see, oh man, God made an entrance into me right then. Right at that moment. It's our responsibility to show the principalities and powers in the heavenly places what the manifold wisdom of God is. Now, how do you get the manifold wisdom of God? It's all in this process. Yeah, that old saying was, you got to get under the spout where the glory comes out. You and I have to allow ourselves to be in the place where God can talk to us about some things that's on his heart. Amen. We've been trying to engage God in talking to us about the things that's on our heart. Amen. Praise the Lord. Look at the praises go up. Yeah. We're concerned about some things, and we want to talk to God about what we're concerned about. And I can just see him just shaking his head going, my, that precious little thing is concerned about what? They're concerned about what? And you know there's a lot of prayers that God don't even hear. You know that, don't you? he don't even hear them. It's got to be wrapped in faith. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, according to the scripture, this is according to eternal purpose. Eternal purpose, which he planned in Christ Jesus. Eternal purpose, which he planned in Christ Jesus. That means that what God has called you and I to be involved in, he planned it in Christ Jesus being manifested as the Son of God. Being manifested as our Savior. Being manifested as our King. Being manifested as our Lord. Being manifested by revelation that he was the one that created us. And that's by revelation. Now that's why the devil fights creationism revelation. See, he wants to point toward a bang or something, right? My relatives did not hang up in trees and jump from one bush to the other. Those are not my relatives. Amen. And before anybody want to act like that's a racial statement, believe me, you can find some white monkeys too. There's white monkeys and black monkeys and brown monkeys and spotted monkeys. Hallelujah. Don't make any difference whether I resemble one of them or they resemble me. We are not related. Michael Jackson said, Billie Jean is not my child. Amen. I know who I'm related to. Now it says here that we're to have boldness. We have boldness and access with confidence by faith of him. It's by faith that you have boldness and confidence to get that access, to have access to him. I mean, not everybody really wants to have personal access to God. They're running from that. Amen. See? And by your faith in who Christ is, you can have boldness and access to him. Now, why do you need that, honey? It is not to pay your rent. Hallelujah. I'm telling you now, What God has taken the church is a place that's beyond self-satisfaction. Now, self-satisfaction and delight and blessing is all a part of it. But that is not going to stop the church that God is raising up in this hour. It's not going to hinder the church from receiving and moving in the glory that God has ordained to be displayed in this earth, because he said he's coming back for not a broken down, crippled, sick, emaciated, anemic church, but he's coming back for one that's glorious. That's what he's coming back for. Now it's up to you whether you be a part of that or not. It's not just because you saved that you'll be a part of that. You've got to decide with God, no matter what it takes, I'm walking in the glory. I'm walking in this. Amen. Even if I have to listen to what my wife tells me to do, I'm going to do it. Yes, dear. Praise God. Even if I have to listen to my husband, I'll do it. I just want to touch on a few things that you might be thinking about. Praise the Lord. Now let's ask ourselves some tough questions. To what purpose are we commissioned to instruct principalities and powers in the heavenlies, the manifold wisdom of God? To what purpose? Why would God give you the authority, give me the authority, to instruct principalities and powers in the manifold wisdom of God? To what purpose? It's not a mystery. See, we've got the scriptures. It's not a mystery. See, God's going to be glorified in the earth. The gospel of the kingdom is only a mystery to those who have blinded their own eyes. Unbelievers are unbelievers by choice. I'm talking about in a church. They're unbelievers by choice. And anytime you are an unbeliever by choice, it's because there's some other stuff that you've chosen that you do not want to let go. I can't have God all the way up in here in this, because if I do, then I'll have to let this go. And I'll have to give that up. See? We try to hold on to things. See? It's kind of like fear. Self-preservation is strong in you because you're afraid of getting hurt. See, you're trying to protect yourself. You have to let your guard down. Let God fight your battle. See, it's the same. So God has a reason for us to be in that position to instruct principalities and powers in the manifold wisdom of God. Now, you have to be careful about this, because we're in a realm here on the earth, and our responsibility only goes up so high. See, it only goes up so high. See, our responsibility doesn't go up into the realm where God is. The heavens are the Lord's, but the earth he's given into the hands of men. So my prayers, my authority, whatever I'm to use in dealing with principalities and powers, has got to be here. See? You never hear in the Bible where God said to Adam, I know you've been working hard, son. Come on, take a little vacation and come up here with me and stay with me a while. No, God intended for Adam to do some stuff here. And that's what he concentrated on. Adam had heaven on earth. That's why you never hear Adam saying anything about going to heaven. There's no scripture that talks about Adam desiring to go to heaven, to be with God. God came to be with him. Amen. It hasn't changed for you and I. Amen. See? Be careful about desiring to go home, to be in heaven. You're going to come back soon and very soon. Amen. When I go, I want to go because I'm finished. Amen. You want to hear him say, well done, right? Amen. Well, do something. Amen. You don't want to look at God and God look at you and he goes, well, I don't know about you. Huh? We don't want that. Oh, no, Lord, don't say that. Make it short and sweet. Well done. You can talk to Curtis or you can talk to Richard. I'm ready to go. I'm serious. When it comes down to judgment, I want that to be the shortest experience that I have with God. Everything after that, we're going to have a ball. But judgment, short and sweet. Amen. Point me to the buffet. Marriage, supper of the Lamb. I'm ready to get to that. Amen. Are you with me now? All right. How does this relate to the will of God for our lives? How does this relate to the will of God for our lives? I mean, here we are, commissioned by God to instruct principalities and powers over our lives on this earth with the manifold wisdom of God. How does that relate to your life? See, the thing that you're most cognizant of is the fact that your own person has needs. Your body physically has needs. Emotionally, you have needs. See, I need to relate to my God as a father because I didn't have one. Amen. I didn't have one, so I need to relate to God as a father. If I can have the right relationship with God as a father, then I can minister to men the way that God intends for me to minister to men. Amen. I can be straight up with you. Men are strange beings. It's not easy to minister to men. Women, you know, they're easier to minister to. They're more open. They like to pray. They show up when men don't. They get over the offense a lot faster. Amen. That's just the way it is. Just look at any gospel program. You'll see more women every time in the audience than you see men. Praise the Lord. That's just the way it is. So this relates to me based on what needs to be made whole in me. See, salvation involves deliverance. Sozo means nothing missing, nothing broken. See? See, God's a good God. You know, a lot of people see this as pressure. God's got all this stuff for me to do. He got so many requirements. I don't want all that responsibility. I mean, that's the way a lot of Christians think. But you got to understand that even though God has a lot for you to do, he doesn't want you to be without anything in your life that you need in the process of doing it. And obedience to God is the avenue to complete wholeness, spirit, soul, and body. That's the avenue to that wholeness that we all desire. I didn't have a mother. I had a grandmother that raised me, that stepped in, and that was great. But that doesn't make up for the fact that your own nursing mother is not in your life. It doesn't make up for it. See? Just doesn't do it. So that created a great big old vacuum on the inside of me. I'm the neediest little old brown pinto bean you ever seen. Ask my wife. Come home and I look at her. She looks at me and says, I might as well go fix him something. Oh, Jesus. She's praying about my retirement, man, because it's like, oh, God, he's going to be here all day. She's already told me, this is what you're going to do. Amen. Amen. You're going to stay away from me. You're going out there. You're going back to the office at church. You're going to go do this. You can take up this ministry here. And because I want to do God's will, I said, yes, dear. Amen. But there's a great vacuum that was created in me because I didn't have the loving, nurturing spirit of my birth mother. See, I recognize that. That can cause you problems. Amen. That can cause you problems. See, not having the father, not having the mother. Most of the siblings in my family do not regard me as their elder brother. Trouble. Amen. So there's, I don't know what you call that. It's just rivalry, I guess. I don't know, you know. But that love and affection is not there from my own brothers and sisters. I'm not saying that to judge them or put them down in any way, you know. I'm not the easiest person to love. You know, I get excited about something. I get loud. And I imagine I got loud a few times trying to talk to them about Jesus, but I thought I was doing it in love. Amen. So there's different things that are created in us, you know, throughout our lives, you know, with our experiences. And the Lord knows all about those things. And he's not negligent in trying to fulfill you and bring wholeness to your life, you know, in his obsession with using you. He's not overlooking those things. He's not. See? But we haven't been told that. So we see it like Jonah saw it. And we get on the first boat to Tarshish and go on a cruise or something. You know, we're getting out of Dodge. The way we do it is when we hear the message, we leave that church. I ain't getting up in and all of that stuff right there. I just leave that church and just go somewhere else. And that's what we do, see? That's why there's so many factions and divisions and cliques. Everybody's congregating to something that they want instead of what God has ordained. I tell you, when you get where God wants you to be, get ready. I mean, if you really get where God wants you to be, get ready, because change is coming. Oh, yes, change is coming. Everything's going to be challenged. Now, if you're the kind of person that you don't like to be challenged, stay out of the church where God wants you. Run! Amen. Amen, because the Holy Ghost is after you. Jesus put him on a commission. He said, teach him all things. You got to lasso you, throw you down, tie one of them knots on your legs like they do them calves at the rodeo. Say, you going to hear this. You are going to hear this. Amen. Amen. Now, when you begin to engage in your authority, do these powers respond to you? You can tell that they respond to you. Because as soon as you believe that it is a part of your covenant to be healed and you begin to speak it, oh, they respond. Yeah. They turn up the heat. They like make that little arthritis feel like, oh, my God. Soon as I open my mouth and claim my healing, things got worse. Oh, yeah, you start claiming your prosperity. Dear Lord, where's my money? Yes, they respond all right. And they respond, right, in the beginning there of your faith to discourage you from standing. Because when you've done all you know to do, the Lord says, you better stand. Stand, because if you don't, all of that work that you've been involved in is to no avail. But you got to realize the work that you're involved in is bringing a harvest. It's bringing a harvest of health to you. It's bringing a harvest of finances to you. It's bringing a harvest of wholeness in spirit, soul, and body. But you have to continue to stand. You don't give in. You don't give up. When the devil begins to magnify something in the church to get you upset, you get offended, and this offense spirit comes. This old offense spirit comes. Man, you ought to rise up against the devil and say, shut up! What gives you the right to point out anything to me? Who said you were a part of it? I hadn't seen you tithing up in here. He ain't doing nothing to promote the church, so you ain't got no right to say nothing about it. If I want to get mad about something the pastor says, I'll get mad on my own. I don't need no encouragement from you. Oh, Jesus. Put him in his place. Yes, hallelujah. Now we have access. We've got boldness, access with confidence of faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, all right? All right, go to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14. We've got boldness, we've got access unto the throne of God through the to the mercy seat, and it's all by and because of the faith that we have of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, it's the same faith. Oh, don't miss it. It's the same faith. So the faith that Jesus used in every circumstance of his life is the same faith that you and I are using. Our faith is one and the same. Now, that's what God wants you to realize. Amen. He wants you to realize it so much that he only sees you through the finished work of Christ. That's all he does. He sees you through the finished work of Christ. I say this often because you need to see it, because you've got to destroy the image in your mind that says that God is a hard taskmaster, or he's judgmental, and he's angry, and he's just waiting for you to make a mistake, and he's going to tell Pastor Ford, and Pastor Ford's going to rake you up one side and down the other, and you're going to go out of church embarrassed because everybody's going to know you ain't been a good boy. Amen. No, that's not God. That's not God. God determined and he satisfied with what Jesus did. Now say this out loud. What Jesus did at Calvary was enough. Hallelujah. What Jesus did at Calvary was enough. And God is satisfied with his obedience. So he looks at you and I through the finished work of Jesus. He doesn't have any concern and any worry about it. Right? He's confident that because Jesus paid the price, he's going to ensure that the Holy Ghost gets a hold of you and gets you to where you need to be. You don't pay a price like that and then just lose all of your sense of care about the very people you died for. How dare us believe that God doesn't care? It's a lie from hell. Did I get a little excited right now? I think I got a little excited. All right, then. You're in Hebrews chapter 4. Seeing then that we have a great high priest. Now, the reason we're reading this is because of the former statement that we made out of Ephesians 3, 10 through 12. You having boldness and access with confidence by faith of him. Right? Now, this is where Jesus is. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast to our profession. That means to firmly hold on to your profession. Profession of what? Who you are in Christ. Amen. We're sons and daughters of the living God. Amen. We are the light of the world. Amen. We are a bright light. Our lives exude the glory of God. We are a bright light. Amen. And we have a strong voice. Amen. For we have not, let's read on, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, our weaknesses. Now, for lack of time, I'm going to just dissect this and just deal with it as we go. We have a high priest that's touched with the feelings of our infirmities, our weaknesses. Right? Now, religiously, we see that as I just can't get rid of this snuff. I mean, I've been dipping snuff for all my life. I know I'm saved, and I just declare I love this snuff. I just love my snuff. And that's weak revelation. Weak. See? We're not to be bound by anything. And if we realize what Christ has brought us, we will see that we've been made free from all types of earthly addictions. But I'll tell you something that the Lord Jesus would like for you to see. He would like for you to see that as high priest passed into the heavens, the Son of the living God, that he's touched with the feelings of our infirmities in the areas of stepping out into this revelation of the sons of God. Stepping out into this revelation of being glorified. Come on now. See, because the church and the world puts all of this pressure on us in the sense that they say, well, who do you think you are? You're not God. Well, you just wait a little minute here and I'll tell you a thing or two. My Father is God. I don't know how come I'm not God. You can't tell me that I'm not a Grant. My daddy was a Grant fool. I know I'm a Grant. Amen. You see what I'm saying? Come on now. Jesus said when they judged him, when he said, I'm the Son of God. They said, who do you make yourself to be? You're just a man calling yourself the Son of God. Jesus said, even your poets have said you are gods. He didn't even refer to the prophets. He said just the people, the poets, literary people, got that revelation. And you going to judge me because I say I'm the Son of God? See, you got to accept that. Amen. I'm telling you, you can light up your house when you get in conversations with people and somebody walks up to you and says, hello there, who are you? Oh, I'm God. How are you doing? The who? Don't fall down. Come on. I came to get you up. Come on. Amen. Well, you got to get it in an unashamed. Come on now. You have to get it this way and not be ashamed of it. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ that you cannot be ashamed of what the revelation of the Bible says about you. Can't be ashamed of it. That gives you confidence in casting out devils. When you realize who's living in you, what devil can resist you? You coming out. You can't resist me. I'm using the same faith Jesus used. You shut up. Come out. Amen. Talking about walking in the glory now. So you see, the infirmities and weaknesses we're accustomed to hearing about is, you know, people going to judge you. They're going to talk about you behind your back. They're going to stab you in the back. And the church gets all excited about that and get to shouting and crying over it because somebody's done them wrong. I mean, you can't get any more done wrong than Jesus was done wrong on the cross. What's up with you? You need to get over it. Stop singing who did somebody wrong songs. Amen. Start glorifying God. And learn to suffer with Jesus. We're going to get into some of that too. Praise the Lord. All right. He's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. In other words, I can't get away from that, and I know I don't have a lot of time, but you got to realize here Jesus is on the planet. He is the Son of Man, and he's the Son of God. So he's 100% everything that you are. He's every bit as messed up as you are. Never heard anybody say Jesus messed up before, did you? He's all man. Yeah, he messed up because he's being tempted with the same things you're tempted with. And not just the things you're tempted with, the things she tempted with. And not just the things she tempted with, the things she tempted with. And not just, because you all aren't tempted with the same thing. And so not just the things she tempted with, same stuff he tempted with. Same stuff she tempted with. Same mess you tempted with. He's tempted with all of it. And yet without sin. He overcame. And he did that for you and I. Amen. So if I want to straighten out my life, then I just have to realize what Jesus did for me and accept it. Because I can't do it myself. Amen. So now he understands on this other level when it comes down to you approaching God as a son of God. Just like him. Actively involved in the ministry. Fulfilling God's ordained, preordained will that's written in the books before you were ever formed in your mother's womb, Psalm 139, verse 16. When you begin to approach God and to give yourself to those things, you will be attacked. Stuff of a long time ago will come up in your heart that you thought was way behind you. And you'll be saying things like, my God, I thought I was over that a long time ago. Why is it coming up? Why are you being faced with these difficulties and various things? It's because you are approaching him with boldness. You got access to God now. And this access that you are taking advantage of has to do with you glorifying God in the earth. It ain't anymore just about what you can get from God so that you don't have a burden, so that you don't have a debt, so that you don't have a sickness. It's about glorifying God. It's about lifting up Jesus. It's about doing the works of God that he's ordained for you to do from the foundation of the world. Yeah, he knows how to get you through that time so you don't give up and run away from the things of God. Hell, I didn't know it was going to mean all of this. I just don't know if I can take this. And Jesus says, yes, you can. I'll show you. Come here. I'll show you how to get over it. I'll show you how to get through it. You got access to me. Now it's time for you to walk in that boldness that I've given you. And I'll show you. I'll teach you. Everything you overcome, God gives you. Listen, persecution that comes to you, God says he'll give you 100-fold for that. Any type of distress, any type of trouble that you are faced with because you are doing your best to do God's will, God has a blessing in store for you. And it comes in 100-fold return. So all you got to do is get your mind on your blessing, your harvest. Amen. And I'm telling you, there's some harvest coming to you that far outweighs what you've been believing for. It's in route, but you got to stay on the path. You got to stay on the path that God's ordained for you. You can't give up. I got a minute and a half. Help me, Holy Ghost. The Bible says that Jesus was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. So if Jesus was tempted in all points like as we are, then that means he was tempted in all points past these little temporal inconveniences all the way over into the things that bear more consequence in the kingdom of God. Those heavier and weightier things that you and I are yet to walk in because we've been afraid. He was tempted in those areas for you as well. And the good news is he overcame there because the Bible says that Jesus did all of the will of God. Now that means I can do all of the will of God. Can you do all of the will of God? Yeah. Hallelujah. I said, can you do all of the will of God? All of the will of God. All of the will of God. Hallelujah. 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 Glory. Grant it, Lord. I decree it so in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Aren't you glad?